Not for Profit: Why Democracy Needs the Humanities. Author: Martha C. Nussbaum. Discard skills. We increasingly treat education as though its primary goal were to teach students to be economically productive rather than to think critically and become knowledgeable and empathetic citizens. This short-sighted focus on profitable skills has eroded our ability to criticize authority, reduced our sympathy with the marginalized and different, and damaged our competence to deal with complex global problems. Moreover, the loss of these basic capacities jeopardizes the health of democracies and the hope of the decent world. In response to this dire situation, we must resist efforts to reduce education to a tool of the gross national product. Rather, we must work to reconnect education to the humanities in order to give students the capacity to be true democratic citizens of their countries and the world. A silent crisis. Radical changes are occurring in what democratic societies teach the young, and these changes have not been well thought through. What are these radical changes? The humanities and the arts are being cut away in both primary, secondary, and college university education in virtually every nation of the world, seen by policymakers as useless frills at a time when nations must cut away all useless things in order to stay competitive in the global market. They are rapidly losing their place in the curriculum, and also in the minds and hearts of parents and children. Indeed, what we might call the humanistic aspects of science and social science, the imaginative, creative aspect, and the aspect of rigorous critical thought are also losing ground as nations prefer to pursue short-term profit by the cultivation of the useful and highly applied skills suited to profit-making. Given that economic growth is so eagerly sought by all nations, especially at the time of crisis, too few questions have been posed about the direction of education, and with it, of the world's democratic societies, with the rush to profitability in the global market. Values precious for the future of democracy, especially in an era of religious and economic anxiety, are in danger of getting lost. One way of assessing any educational scheme is to ask how well it prepares young people for life in a form of social and political organization that has these features. Without support from suitably educated citizens, no democracy can remain stable. Education for profit, education for democracy. To think about education for democratic citizenship, we have to think about what democratic nations are and what they strive for. What does it mean then for a nation to advance? In one view, it means to increase its gross national product per capita. This measure of national achievement has for decades been the standard when used by development economists around the world, as if it was a good proxy for a nation's overall quality of life. The goal of nation, says this model of development, should be economic growth. Never mind about the distribution of social equality. Never mind about preconditions of stable democracy. Never mind about the quality of race and gender relations. Never mind about the improvement of other aspects of a human being's quality of life that are not well linked to economic growth. Proponents of this model sometimes like to claim that pursuit of economic growth will by itself deliver the other good things we have mentioned: health, education, a decrease in social and economic inequality. By now, however, examining the results of these divergent experiments, we have discovered that the old model really does not deliver the goods as claimed. Achievements in health and education, for example, are very poorly correlated with economic growth, nor does political liberty track growth. So producing economic growth does not mean producing democracy, nor does it mean producing a healthy, engaged, educated population, in which opportunities for a good life are available to all social classes. Educators for economic growth will do more than ignore the arts. They will fear them. For a cultivated and developed sympathy is a particularly dangerous enemy of obtuseness, and moral obtuseness is necessary to carry out programs of economic development that ignore inequality. It is easier to treat people as objects to be manipulated if you have never learned any other way to see them. Aggressive nationalism needs to blunt the more conscious, so it needs people who do not recognize the individual, who speak group speak, who behave, and see the world like docile bureaucrats. Art is a great enemy of that obtuseness, and artists are not the reliable servants of any ideology, even a basically good one. They always ask the imagination to move beyond its usual confines, to see the world in new ways. Citizens of the world. We live in a world in which people face one another across gulfs of geography, language, and nationality. More than any time in the past, we all depend on people we have never seen, and they depend on us. The problems we need to solve, economic, environmental, religious, and political, are global in their scope. They have no hope of being solved unless people once distant come together and cooperate in ways they have not before. The global economy has tied all of us to distant lives. Our simplest decisions as consumers affect the living standard of people in distant nations who are involved in the production of products we use. Our daily lives put pressure on the global environment. It is irresponsible to bury our heads in the sand. Ignoring the many ways in which we influence every day the lives of distant people. Education, then, should equip us all to function effectively in such decisions, seeing ourselves as citizens of the world, rather than merely as Americans, or Indians, or Europeans. In the absence of a good grounding of international cooperation in the schools and universities of the world, however, our human interactions are likely to be mediated by the thin norms of market exchange, in which human lives are seen primarily as instruments for gain. The world's schools, colleges, and universities therefore have an important and urgent task to cultivate in students the ability to see themselves as members of a heterogeneous nation and a still more heterogeneous world, and to understand something of its history and character of the diverse groups that inhabit it. Democratic education on the ropes. Today, we still maintain that we like democracy and self-governance, and we also think that we like freedom of speech, respect for difference, and understanding of others. We give these values lip service, but we think far too little about what we need to do in order to transmit them to the next generation and ensure their survival. Distracted by pursuit of wealth, we increasingly ask our schools to turn out useful profit makers rather than thoughtful citizens, under pressure to cut costs. We prune away just those parts of the educational endeavor that are crucial to preserving a healthy society. If the real clash of civilizations is a clash within the individual soul, as greed and narcissism contend against respect and love, all modern societies are rapidly losing the battle, as they feed the forces that lead to cultures of equality and respect. If we do not insist on the crucial importance of the humanities and the arts, they will drop away, because they do not make money. They only do what is much more precious than that, make a world that is worth living in. People who are able to see other human beings as full people, with thoughts and feelings of their own that deserve respect and empathy, and nations that are able to overcome fear and suspicion in favor of sympathetic and reasoned debate.